U.S. immigration officials are turning more people away and back to Mexico while they await asylum proceedings. It's part of the Trump administration's Remain in Mexico policy, which the government says is necessary to ease the burden on our immigration and asylum system. Immediately following the rollout of the policy in January, less than 100 migrants were sent back to Mexico from the U.S. southern border. But by this August, Mexican officials expect that number to be closer to 60,000. And as that number goes up, so does the amount of time migrants have to wait, sometimes in dangerous conditions. In February, hearings were scheduled within 45 days, and now some migrants are being told they could remain in Mexico for more than a year. Delphine Schrank is the chief correspondent for Reuters in Mexico and Central America, and she joins us from Honduras. Delphine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the Remain in Mexico policy has been on the books since January. What has changed since then?
It's been seriously expanded in the last few days, even. And this is as a result of a push by the Trump administration, a threat imposed on Mexico to completely halt immigration to the United States and migrants crossing through Mexico to reach the United States, or else President Trump said he would start imposing tariffs on Mexico that would steadily increase to 25% in October. So the Mexican government thrashed out a deal very quickly and agreed to expand this program very rapidly, even though they'd already agreed to it as of January.
And remind us again, the Remain in Mexico used to just be in Tijuana, but it's expanded to other cities since then, has it not?
Yes, it's expanded. Then it moved over to Juarez, which used to be an unbelievably murderous city up until a few years ago, and now has expanded in the last few days to two more cities. And in addition to that expansion, which was initially just of Central Americans, of Salvadorans, Hondurans, and Guatemalans, who make up the biggest amount of migrants trying to reach America at the moment at the southern border, they also expanded in the last few days to other Spanish speakers, including Cubans and other nationalities.
How does it work exactly? If you are a migrant and you're trying to get to the U.S. southern border and you happen to come through Mexico, what happens if you get caught in one of these towns or cities?
So you either get caught or you surrender to, which a lot of migrants do, you surrender to U.S. Border Patrol and ask for asylum, which is what many, many of these families are doing because they actually are crossing to the United States. The U.S. government right now is using the rhetoric that they're illegal, but then they say they're afraid to go home and they get put into the asylum process. And then it seems to be at the discretion of U.S. authorities, U.S. Border Patrol, to decide whether they're put into the Migrant Protection Protocol program, as the U.S. government is calling this. And then as a result of that, they are sent back to Mexico to await a court hearing that's meant to be in about 45 days. From the work of my colleagues at Reuters, and we've sort of noticed that this is pretty arbitrary how they're deciding who's getting sent back and who isn't. Some members of the family have been allowed through and put through the normal asylum process where they can wait months or years in the U.S., while others have been sent back to wait in a Mexican town and given nothing, really. They're escorted back over the border and then they're left to fend for themselves, to find shelter, to find work. Often their papers are taken and kept in the U.S. because that's the court procedure. And then it's really up to them.
And so there's really no rhyme or reason for how U.S. officials decide who gets sent back to Mexico under this policy?
There may be, but as far as we've been able to gauge, no. But at the same time, they're trying to apply this in a broad and systematic way, it seems to be, to everyone who's crossing now. So anyone who had crossed prior to January and requested asylum was not put through this program, whereas a lot of people that are showing up now are likely to face this. I mean, I have examples of this of people that I've been following. I can tell you about one. This Cuban detainee, I had been tracking migrants arriving in southern Mexico who had been put in Mexican immigration detention centers. And so I know a woman called Yildiz Gomez who actually tried to attempt suicide in a facility where she was held nearly 2 months in southern Mexico. She eventually broke out after she'd been cowering in a bathroom because they were about to deport her. She fled to the U.S. border to seek asylum with help from her husband, who's a U.S. national. And then she crossed over and surrendered to Border Patrol to seek asylum. She was held in a facility in El Paso, and I just found out 2 days ago from her frantic husband that she's about to be sent back to Mexico, and she's under this program. And she's terrified because she had become a fugitive in Mexico for having broken out of that facility in southern Mexico. So those are the kinds of people that are being sent back now.
Yeah, it's interesting. We can sort of understand or at least see why the United States, with its overall plan to deter migrants, would use this as part of its strategy. What about Mexico? What does Mexico, how does Mexico benefit from this? And why has it really decided to essentially support U.S. efforts at migrant deterrence?
That's a good question, because Mexico has been under considerable pressure from the United States. The new government that came into place in Mexico in December of President Andrés Manuel López Obrador came in on a pledge to change migration policy in Mexico and actually be much more welcoming to Central Americans who came through Mexico, to prioritize human rights and to welcome them and give them jobs in Mexico. But there's been severe pressure by the Trump administration. Trump has repeatedly threatened to shut the U.S.-Mexico border. And then late last month, he threatened to impose severe tariffs on Mexico that would increase substantially unless they completely halted immigration. So Mexico has had a threat over its head and has had to take action or show that it's taking action very rapidly. So on the northern border, it's allowing Mexicans to come back and remain in the country. And at its southern border, it's sent down the National Guard in recent days, and it's severely cracked down on any migrant who shows up, even if they're trying to get legal papers. What they're getting out of it is maybe the backing off of U.S. economic pressure. Not maybe, that's a reality. The tariff threat was taken away after Mexico agreed to rapidly expand this program. Beyond that, it's not clear. I will say that unofficially, Mexican officials have said to us and to my colleagues and to others that initially they allowed this because they assumed that U.S. courts would overturn it because it was probably a violation of U.S. and international law.
And they're still waiting.
So they're picking their battle effectively, knowing that the U.S. can fight this one out in U.S. courts, and they wouldn't have to win this one with the U.S. government in return for some other concession.
Delphine Schrank is the chief correspondent for Reuters in Mexico and Central America. Delphine, thank you so much for helping us understand all this.
Thanks so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.